Welcome, beautiful souls, to Shine On You, the podcast that dives deep into the realms of modern spirituality, the metaphysical, and the mystical. I'm your guide on this journey, Renee Novello. This is not just a podcast, it's a sanctuary for the open-minded, the curious, and those called to topics that maybe at times seem a little out there. Through grounded, heart-centered conversations, we are here to support your next breakthrough into higher alignment and help illuminate the path, highlighting the threads of wisdom that connect us all. We are a community of kindred spirits, a space for belonging, connection, and shared wisdom. This is Shine On You, a podcast where the coastal breezes of Wilmington, North Carolina meet cosmic mysteries. Jump in and join us for conversations that will feel like sunshine for your soul. To follow me along on this journey, head over to my website at reneenovello.com or on Instagram at Vibe with Intuition. Now let's dive into the interview. Welcome back to another episode of Shine On You. I'm Renee. I'm so excited to be here today. We are in studio again, of course, in person, which I am loving because there is nothing like the energy in a room being live with someone. And we have a very beautiful special guest today, Victoria Rain. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Renee. Such an honor to be here. Me too.
I am really grateful to be able to sit down with you and to have this conversation. And I like to start with a few pieces of background information. I think a lot of us are transplants to the Wilmington area.
Yes.
And I believe you fall into that
category. Definitely am a transplant.
So maybe tell us your Wilmington origin story to begin with. How you ended up here.
It's such an interesting story. I feel like so many of us have a pandemic story, you know? So my story started off during the pandemic. I'm from California, and I was in the middle of a divorce. And my ex-husband's parents, who are such an amazing help with us raising our son, they just said, we're moving to North Carolina.
Okay.
And so if you could imagine how devastating that was to me, I'm like, what? Like, we plan to have this baby as a family. Like, you guys are leaving. And so I debated about it. I had a thriving childcare business there. And so I just said, you know, I'm going to make the sacrifice. I'm going to close the business. And I'm just going to move to North Carolina.
Have you ever been here?
I visited twice. So the summer before I moved, I came. And then in 2011, when my ex-husband lived here momentarily, I came to visit.
Okay. Yeah. So you made the journey here in 2020?
Yep.
Like in the middle of everything going
September down? September 2020.
Wow.
Yes. It was wild because California was closed. So yes. The fires had just happened in California. Yeah. And that was like the breaking point. I'm like, we already are wearing masks. Now we can't breathe because of the smoke and the ashes. I was just over California. And I really wanted to give myself time to heal from my divorce. Like, I was running the business. I was a new mom. I was going through the divorce. And there was not enough time for me to give to myself.
Yeah.
So I saw coming to Wilmington as an opportunity for me to rest and truly devote myself to going within and doing the inner work to heal and allow myself to grieve after being a wife and being a caretaker to all the children and coaching their mothers through their challenges. And so I moved here, and all hell pretty much broke loose shortly after.
So you came as a unit.
Yep, came as a unit. And then there was...
The path changed,
you know. And initially, I just had this victim mindset. Like, oh my God, this wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I feel bamboozled. Total victim hot mess mode, you know. In hindsight, I see how I contributed to it. I could have been a little bit more clear and my expectations and just so many different things. But I became estranged from them for maybe like a year, maybe. So it was just like straight custody, and like that was it for like
an abrupt
and it was abrupt transition. And it was,
and you were a new mom.
I was a new mom. My son was three at the time. Okay. And it was very hard because I'd been with him every day pretty much, you know. So I had to adjust to that. I did.
Yeah. And then you and I met, let's see, I don't know. I moved here in 2021.
So I feel like a lot of us landed here kind of in the same vicinity and the same time frame. And then I, of course, found you and met you at the cacao circles where a lot of us find each other.
Yes, yes, the sacred cacao circles.
I know. Shout out to the cacao circles.
Shout out to Christina and Liana.
And Liana. Seriously, yeah, seriously. And I felt this sense with you that was like, well, I think my daughter was with me that day.
Yes, yes.
Olivia, who is now 17. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she is a wise old soul.
She is.
And you did something so special for her that I will never forget. And this is how I knew you were such a, obviously, ambitious and intelligent person, but you also had a huge heart, is you offered to talk to her and kind of help her because she was just, you know, what, 15 or 16, living in a new area, figuring it out. I didn't even introduce you as a mindset coach, but I know that you are a manifestation and mindset coach and that you also have a huge heart.
Yeah.
And I felt that immediately and felt safe with you talking to my daughter, and you guys had a little combo.
Yeah.
And it lifted her spirits. And I on a personal note, I'm so grateful that you offered.
Yep. Thank you for trusting me.
Of course.
You know,
well, I was feeling it. I was
just met, and I'm like, girl, call me. I want to help you. You know, because I saw so much of myself in her, and I know what it felt like to not fit in with the people around you. Mm-hmm. You know, so my heart definitely went out to her, and I'm glad that I was able to resonate with her.
You did. You really did, because you know, she was kind of trying to find her way and you know, feeling like she has this way about her that, you know, she is not like other kids her age. And she was sharing that with the circle. And, you know, I just felt this sense of like, oh, my gosh, the nurturing.
Yeah.
And the sense of like.
That mama bear coming out.
Yeah, that mama bear coming out. So tell us, because I think it's always fun for the listener to hear, especially a lot of our listeners here locally. We like to, you know, kind of geek out on astrology and human design and even animal soul readings with Fox that we talked about. But do you mind sharing a little bit about?
Absolutely.
What's your imprint? Tell us whatever resonates with you.
Absolutely. So my soul animal is the North American grizzly bear. It's a brown bear. And when I found this out, I was like, yes, grizzly bear. But the more I learned about the grizzly bear, I kind of was not ready to accept that independent part of me. So the grizzly bear walks alone, and it goes into hibernation every year around the fall and winter months. And for the most of my adult life, I'd done that. And I didn't really know why. But around October, November, December, I kind of would just go within. And then come springtime, I'd pop back like, yeah, I'm ready to take over the world. You know, so I would always go into hermit mode around that time. So that really resonated with me. But the only time the grizzly bear really interacts with men, with the male grizzlies, is to mate, and that's it. And so the closest relationship the grizzlies will have is with their child. And so grizzlies are very intuitive. Well, as a grizzly soul animal, I'm very intuitive. I'm a leader. I'm a nurturer. People come to me for guidance. However, if I am not aware of my own power, I can allow people to take advantage of me. But people sense my power long before I do.
We're going to have Fox Lantern on, who is the intuitive that does the animal soul readings that so many of us have had the pleasure of having. I mean, it's pretty profound information.
It truly is.
It really is. It's way more than something just kind of cute to know about yourself. It goes deep.
It really was a very, like, monumental point in my life when I learned it. I was like, I'm not going to be out here being this strong, powerful grizzly bear and allow people to take advantage of me anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was determined to rise in my power.
I love that.
And I've been focused on it ever since.
You have. Yes. So tell me. Okay. Well, do you have any astrology, your big three that you want to share?
Yeah. So I'm a Leo. Mm-hmm. Leo Sun, Leo Mercury, Mars, and Venus. So big Leo energy here and Lilith. And my moon is Cancer moon.
Oh, okay.
That's where the nurturing side comes from. And rising is Virgo.
Oh, okay. So we got some order in there, too.
Definitely. Thank God.
I love that. Well, that's an interesting, and maybe I did realize that at the time, but Olivia, my daughter, has a Leo, or a Cancer moon.
Yes.
Big feelers.
Big feelers, for sure.
I love that. That's so cool. thank you for giving us a little backstory on that, because I feel like it really just kind of gets, it allows people to know you on a different level that, yes, that kind of appreciate that.
They're absolutely.
Like, oh, I see you. I yes. see you. I know what you're about.
Yes, yes.
So tell us a little about the transformational journey. You know, obviously you went through loss, change, transformation, kind of in it seemed like a pretty abrupt period of time. Because yes. I yes. would see you from time to time around town, and you mm-hmm. were kind of like, okay, I'm on to the next thing. This is yeah. it. What has that been like? What have been some moments in that transformational journey that really shaped you into what you are doing now?
I will say in 2021, this was after I was estranged from my ex-husband, his family. Now we're great. We're co-parenting harmoniously, and it's all that I could ever ask for. But during that season, I was very depressed. Dark night of the soul mm-hmm. would have you feeling very, very lonely. And my godmom back in California, I called her, and I just kept saying, like, I'm so alone. I'm so alone. I feel so alone. And she's so cute. She's like, didn't you say there was some type of CBD that helped you with, like, when you would get depressed? And I hadn't, like, used any CBD since I'd been in mm-hmm. California. And so I was just like, I'm desperate. I'm just going to go find some. And I remember seeing some pre-rolls at a crystal shop. Mm-hmm. I think it was Practical Magic. Mm-hmm. So rather than going to a traditional smoke shop, I decided to go to this crystal store and get one of their pre-rolls. And as I was there, I saw a sign that said Reiki Healer on site. Now, usually I like to vet the Reiki people sure. I let touch me, sure. but I'm talking about deep depression. I was ready to, like, end my experience here in this physical world. Like, that's how low I was. And so I went into this space, and it was this Reiki, cute little white girl. Jolynn was her name. And I said, can you give me some Reiki? And she's like, yes. So I lay down on her table. Beautiful. I felt such at peace on her table. And when I sat down, after it was over, the first thing she said to me was, you are not alone.
Aww.
And I was just like, what do you mean? I've been saying that I was alone all day long because I didn't have any friends here. I didn't know anyone here. You know, we were still kind of like COVID-like mm-hmm. pandemic. So it wasn't really, you didn't feel comfortable just meeting people back then. And she told me I wasn't alone. And she said that she had to get permission from my ancestors to touch me and to begin healing, doing the energy healing. Mm-hmm. She said that she saw legions of ancestors lining before me, kneeling down, paying gratitude and homage to me. I have chills right now.
Yeah, me too.
For all of the work that I had been doing. You know, the whole time I just felt like I ruined my life by moving here because I gave up the business. I was broke.
You were in your story.
I was in my story big time. Big time victim mentality. And she was like, you moved here for a reason. Continue to do your healing work and start connecting with your ancestors. And I was just like, who's this little girl, white girl, telling me to connect with my ancestors? You know, like, this was such a culture shock for me coming from the Bay Area where most of my world were, I was surrounded by people who looked like me. Mm. So here in Wilmington, it just wasn't, it was all new for me, yeah. you know. So I went home and I built an ancestor altar and I started praying and connecting with my grandmother, her spirit, and things just began changing right after that. Was a very, that was like such a catalyst in my journey here. Shout out to Jolynn.
Oh my goodness.
Sparrow. She is a psychic tarot reader. She's amazing.
Oh, I might need to know
She's
her.
A Wilmington native. She's yeah. current, she moved to Durham, but you can still catch up with her online.
That's amazing. Yeah. You were in the right place at the right moment.
Absolutely. You like, what were the odds that I chose to go there to get some CBD versus yes, a exactly. traditional smoke shop or something? So
right.
I thank God for her.
Have you always had an interest in personal development, or did that sort of spark your interest
in absolutely.
Like going deeper?
It sparked my interest in going deeper, for sure, and connecting with my ancestors. Yeah. That's what it sparked my interest, because that was my background is Christianity. I am an ordained minister. And so I started really making my, like, had my awakening mm-hmm. during my marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, it started off with me wanting to heal the marriage. So I'd start doing a lot of internal work and just trying to understand how did I marry someone that was really struggling in the way that he was. Yeah. So rather than blaming him, I just really went within and started to just unpack my own shit. You know, and 2017 was when I really started diving into personal development. When I got pregnant with my son, you know, I got pregnant 4 months after I said I do, and I couldn't believe
wow.
it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I said, what? I never been pregnant before. I knew I wanted a divorce. you know, but I stayed married 2 more years. But I felt that as a mother, it was really up to me to do that deep healing work so that I could raise my son in a happy and healthy environment. Mm-hmm. I am pro happy mom, happy child.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that so much. And the transformation that I know, you know, it's not a linear path. You figure some stuff out and then you're like, oh, I thought I already did this. I thought I already figured this out. And you have become someone who is really a voice for empowerment. And I love that.
Thank you.
I do. I love that. And also through that, helping people to, like you did, take radical responsibility for themselves and their story. Talk about that a little bit. About
radical responsibility. I truly believe that if it's my fault, if I'm the problem, then I am the solution. You know, some people, if it might feel good in the moment to blame others, mm-hmm. but ultimately knowing that you're at the mercy of other people is such a disempowering state. And when I started to really learn that the world around me was a reflection of what was going on within me, the game changed. Mm. It was like, oh, so these people are responding to my energy. There's a spiritual law called the perpetual transmutation of energy. When I started to learn universal law on a deeper level, I began to see and look back in my life on how I had actually contributed and played a major role in such catastrophic, traumatic events that I experienced.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not about victim blaming or blaming or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about understanding from an energetic perspective on how you contributed to this outcome in your own life. You know, so I'm all about radical accountability.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've been there. Like, I've been through I'm just, you know, going to be the way I am, or, you know, this isn't happening for me quick enough, or all of that sort of mentality, you know. And then when you do kind of realize that if it is in your space, you have contributed to it being in your space, created it for you to be able to learn from it, to grow from it. And I think that it does take, and tell me what you think, it takes courage to kind of look at yourself like that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are not wanting to do that.
Yeah.
It's confronting.
Absolutely. You know, growing up, my background is Christianity. I grew up in church. And in my culture, my environment, we start off blaming the devil. So you're blaming someone always for your behavior. And as long as we think that there is a power outside of us mm-hmm. that is making things happen, we kind of just feel like, why should I look at myself? There's this evil force that's doing all these bad things. It couldn't be me.
Right.
You know, so once I learned that God was within me, not without, not in the sky, not in this person, not in that book, not in that crystal, but God truly was within me, I was able to accept myself and have so much love and compassion for myself and look at my choices from a place of non-judgment. But it just is what it is. It's not wrong. It's not right. It just simply means 1 + 1 = 2.
Yep.
So how did I get here? And what do I need to do to get to the next place?
Yep.
And typically it's not really what do you need to do. It's who do you need to be?
You know? It is.
Yeah. It's who do you need to be? So I started really diving into identity work and self-concept work.
Tell us a little bit about that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So self-concept is pretty much who you see yourself as. Your thoughts about yourself, your beliefs, your behaviors, your habits, mm-hmm. who you see yourself as, how you show up in this world, you know. And a lot of us don't realize that who we see ourselves as has come from our parents, our past partners, mm-hmm. that teacher in elementary school, and society at large.
A lot of voices going on.
A lot of voices, you know. And when you come into the awareness that you get to decide who you want to be, and you don't have to, like, do a million things to become that person. Mm-hmm. You just have to start being that person. So rather than waiting until you get the $1 million, you start to feel prosperous now.
Rather than
waiting for the Prince Charming or the husband to come into your life, you start to recognize all the ways that you've already been loved and provided for in your life.
Yep. who you want to be.
Yes, and you start being that person.
Yeah.
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 It's all about embodiment.
Yes, I love that you talk about, thank you for saying that word, because I know we talked a little bit before this, and you talked about that, and I was like, yes, because there is so much information. Mm-hmm. It's amazing in a lot of ways. You can learn, you can grow to a certain degree with what you pick up, right, out in the field or pick up your phone, and, you know, there's, I mean, a recipe and information for everything, right? So why aren't we all creating a life that we love? Why are we all not creating our reality in the way that we wish it to be, given all this wonderful advice?
Yeah.
It's about embodiment, right?
It's all about embodiment.
So what does that mean?
It means taking the information in your body, like internalizing it and being it. Mm-hmm. Not just being able to regurgitate the law of attraction, not just being able to regurgitate scriptures, but being it. Have it come out in your thoughts, your actions, your beliefs, your words, your behaviors. Literally walking the talk. Mm-hmm. That's what embodiment is.
Why do you think that's so hard for people? Like initially, I guess. Or a lot of people are maybe resistant to getting to that point. Because, I mean, I know. I got all the books. Yeah. I got all. I'm like a sponge for learning. I love to learn. Yeah. I take all the courses. I know a little bit about a lot.
Same.
I've taken so many courses. I can like probably teach about it. But have I embodied it?
Yeah.
Not all of it. Nope. Yeah.
So that's where I was at in the top of 2023. I realized, damn, I've been studying all this stuff, and I'm not embodying it. I was like, damn. Like, it was a real awareness, like, wow, you've been studying all this stuff for years, and you are still not where you want to be in life. What is the problem? And I learned it was, the missing piece was embodiment. So my word for 2023 was embodiment. Mm-hmm. I was determined to embody, not just teach it, because I knew that I'm called to be a leader. I'm called to help other women overcome the things that I've overcome in my life. But there was no way that I could do it from an unauthentic place. Like, it just doesn't feel good for me to teach you about loving yourself, and I'm sitting here letting some men mistreat me, or I'm just settling for less. Mm-hmm. So I think that most people struggle with it because they don't have the right image of themselves.
It starts with the self-image.
It starts with the self-image. It starts with self-concept, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's real tricky stuff.
Yeah, because you can read the information, but it's right. You're not shifting how you see yourself.
Do you feel like it's a self-worth of, like, not seeing yourself as worthy of being that?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. You know, a lot of people say they believe, but the way they're living their lives is showing that they're not believing. Yeah. Also, self-awareness. Mm-hmm. You know, most people are not aware that they are not aware.
Ooh.
So you ever see a child just walking around, just acting wild, and they don't know? Mm-hmm. They're just kind of like in their own world. Mm-hmm. People would call it the Matrix. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people are in this space to where they're not aware that they're being controlled by other people.
Right.
They're not aware that they're acting out their programming from their grandmother. They're not aware that they're operating in this false self. They believe that who they are is who they are, but it's really not who they are. It's who they have become throughout the experiences in their life. So the lack of self-awareness, a lot of people don't study themselves.
Yeah, the beliefs that they carry are, they're identifying with those beliefs, over, I guess, identifying with those beliefs of like.
Yes.
Well, and I think that there is something to be said for some people just are intrinsically motivated to want to grow. Back to kind of the self-development piece, right? I mean, I think a lot of people want more, or they want what they see as possible, right? But they aren't necessarily wanting to do the work to get there.
Yeah.
Or when you're working with, you work with women?
Yes.
When you're working with women, what are you seeing as a common theme of how potentially they're holding themselves back, or something that has kind of come up that you've noticed and observed in your work?
Two major things: giving way too many fucks about what other people think about them. Way too many. Over-explaining, needing to defend why they're doing what they're doing, and a false image of self, like having the wrong idea, not seeing themselves. All things that I've I feel like all my clients are like versions of me at different stages in my journey.
Yeah.
And also improper image of God too. You know?
Tell me about that. Like just kind of maybe like some trauma.
Yeah. So not necessarily trauma, but most of my clients have been Black women, Christianity background. And in the church, we were taught like that God was separate from us, like literally somewhere out in the sky, and we're not worthy and we're shameful, and we should be thankful that Jesus mm-hmm. died on the cross for our sins. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're not, it's, we started off feeling unworthy. Mm-hmm. Like just being taught as a child that someone died on a cross and was crucified because of some bad things that you did. So that was like start of the programming at a very young age. And so when we don't see ourselves as one with God, we have this like a deep, deep, deep feeling of unworthiness.
Yeah.
Like how could not God love me?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that a lot of spiritual trauma in the sense that God is like this man in the sky with a beard, like Santa Claus checking a list if we're naughty or nice.
Right.
You know, and a major disconnect from themselves, mm-hmm. like not prioritizing themselves. Mm-hmm. And I always ask women that claim to have the strong faith in God, like, how do you spend time with God if you're not spending time with yourself? Like, how is it possible? And as women, we take on so many jobs and roles and responsibilities, and we put ourselves on the back burner.
Yeah.
And we feel guilty for putting ourselves first. And I'm just like, you can't save anyone. You can't even help anyone first without making sure you're good.
Mm.
But we've been taught from a societal standpoint that we should come last.
Yeah. And I didn't grow up necessarily with a lot of religious input or standards or, you know, practices, really. It was kind of on the peripheral. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it hasn't affected me.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I've internalized some of that,
yeah.
you know, and it just never really resonated with me personally for a lot of what you just shared. It didn't. It felt very distant, and I've always felt a very, very spiritual connection within.
Yeah.
And I can see how, in my experience with working with women in we're hard. We're hard on ourselves.
So hard on ourselves.
I mean, the way that we criticize ourselves, maybe not even out loud or in, you know, any sort of external way, but internally we are so hard on ourselves. Even with feeling like I have a pretty good self-image and I feel pretty good and I'm not nitpicky to a certain degree, but then I still catch, you know, it's so pervasive.
It is a lifetime relationship. So I have committed to a lifetime relationship with myself. I have been terrible to myself. Very, very, like, harsh. My inner hater is what I would call it. Like, just terrible. Even after, you know, feeling like I arrived in a healthy state of self-love and still was not, something just was not clicking for me. And then I just accepted, like, I'm perfect already. Mm. It is what it is. Like, I'm okay, and there's no need for me to need anything outside of myself because I am the one.
Yeah.
I'm the one that I've always been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to be anything more. I just need to accept that. Just accept that you are the one. You're good already.
Yes, and the voice of judgment.
Yes.
I mean, that's a tough one because I think sometimes there are well-meaning people that have been in your life, potentially caretakers, teachers, loved ones, you know, that they project their stuff onto you. You're a kid, you take that in, and that is that voice. It's real hard. I feel like there's some unwinding that has to be done to really work with that because that is sneaky.
I was just talking about the childhood bullying that I experienced from a particular boy in the apartment complex I lived in. It gave me body image issues throughout my whole life. Like, my whole life. Like, I was called names like Bigfoot, Pork Chop, Hamburglar. Like, it never happened at school, but it was just in the community that I lived in. And I continued to experience the community that I was in showing me things that I didn't like about myself or, like, picking on me. And I internalized it completely.
Yeah.
And I look back at my childhood pictures and I'm like, what? Why would you even think to call me that? But I did have an opportunity to confront that bully. About a few years ago.
You did.
I saw him in a restaurant. It was so crazy because I was like 8 back then.
That's his crazy.
And we were at the bar and it was a friend of his next to me and then he was across. And I had my headphones on, was reading my book, and he tried to get my attention by calling me one of those names.
He didn't.
And I looked at him and I said, that is not my name. And he said, you know, that's the name I used to call you. And I said, listen, I know you were bullied. And that's probably why you felt that it was okay to call me that. But that was not okay. And his friend was just sitting there eating his food like, man, he told her. I mean, she told him. You know, it was like, it felt so liberating to say that. It felt so cliche. Like, remember the talk shows, like, confront your bully? Like, that's what I felt like it was. But it felt so good to tell him that because it caused a world load of insecurities. Like, because my family, they always told me I was beautiful. But I went out in the outside world, and I had this one guy in the apartment complex. He was like a preteen. I was like 8. And then he had all the other kids calling me that. Like, that was my nick. Like, my, it became a nickname for me around the community. And it didn't feel good.
I do not like that for you at all. No. And I relate to that, too. I know. It's like these things. And I think maybe it also comes with being, I mean, some of us, it's not good for anybody. But some of us are a little more sensitive. And I think that we do kind of maybe take on a little bit more of a sponge to what we're told.
Absolutely. I do.
Yeah. Me too. And I know for sure. Yeah. I definitely have memories that popped up when you were saying that about names that were called or things like that. And it's like, it's sneaky.
And my mom had no clue.
Right.
She didn't know until like my adult life when I told her. She's like, why didn't you say anything? And I'm like, I don't recall you ever asking me if someone was like making fun of me.
Right.
You know, like she never asked and I never said anything about it. But I cried a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that in a way it prepares us as parents because I know you have a beautiful son. And
yeah.
You know, I have these kind of upfront talks with my kids. I'm sure you do too.
Absolutely.
Where I'm like, look. Like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, this is the deal, okay? Because this may be happening, and I get it sucks, but there's a reason why this person, and it's really sad, you know?
He has his clapbacks ready because I just gave them to him the other day. I said, if someone says something mean to you, this is what you are to say. You must be really sad to say something like that to me.
Aww.
Because it's the truth. It comes from pain. It's not about who you are.
That's right.
And we have instilled so much confidence in him to where he knows who he is. And he's only 6.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm like, if someone's bullying you, ask them, who's bullying you? Because it usually comes from someone else.
Oh, for sure.
And so they try to give the pain to someone else.
Yeah.
But just by saying that, he can soften them a bit, you know, like, you're going through something. And to just not internalize it in that moment.
That gives me hope.
Yeah,
it really
too.
Does. It gives me hope that, like, there are parents that are giving their children the tools and helping them in the right way. So this won't get passed down, and it'll help that other person in a sneaky way, you know, in a way that's non-confrontational and empowers your son in the process.
Absolutely. I think that's really what me and my ex-husband had came to do. We were totally trauma bonding when we got together, and we wanted to have a family and raise him in ways we weren't raised, you know, and though we're divorced, we're still doing that. I'm so thankful.
I'm so encouraged to hear that that has been the experience. And you have gone through a lot of change and transformation in the past couple of years. So what is fulfilling you lately?
Freedom. Freedom is fulfilling me in so many ways. Coming to a deeper awareness that I've always been that girl has just been feeling so good. Mm-hmm. You know, because for years I was just so hard on myself, criticizing myself, wanting to be more of this, wanting to be less of that. Allowing other people's opinions to really sway me. And now I'm just living in a space of just pure acceptance and joy and love. You know, I retired from childcare in January. And I'm like still sustained and have everything that I need. And it feels so good. It feels so good to know that God is providing for me as I'm living my dreams. And there's nothing to be afraid of.
Oh. So much.
And being able to, like, schedule my days the way that I want to. I went to karate practice with my ex-husband and watched my son do his thing on the mat. And I'm just thankful.
I love that. And I appreciate that, too, that sense of being able to have the freedom in your day to make different choices if you need to make them, to do what you need to flow with it, to go where you need to be. Do what you need to be doing. It is something I do not take for granted in
my
life
gosh.
Either. Like,
I am so thankful. You know, I was just attached to this caretaker role, you know, and I even had to do a lot of work around that. Like, it's okay for me to close the daycare again.
Yeah.
It's okay for me to let go. It was a role. but I'm not going to attach myself to it. My purpose is not defined by a particular job or career or business. I'm here to light up the world and help other people come into the awareness of the truth of who they've always been, to love themselves, to really value personal development and radical accountability. So it feels good.
And how are you working with people or women these days? Like, what does your programs look like or your
virtually
containers?
Online?
Yes.
Yep. So my signature.
So you have a far reach.
Yes. I've coached women in Germany, Africa, all throughout the United States, Canada, the Netherlands. So it has been interesting.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Only two people here in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But most of my clients have been just virtual online.
And when you're working with them, do you have like a specific kind of method, or are you more like a one-on-one, let me feel it out, let me see what that individual really needs? Or do you have like some kind of things that you feel are tried and true that you're, I mean, maybe both, right?
All of the above. So my program, my signature program is the Victorious Woman Coaching Program. It's a 12-week program, or there is an intensive 6-month program, and it's one-on-one. But there is a basic framework that I teach to everyone, but then, of course, it's customized to that particular person's needs.
The big-hearted energy that you lead with and that strength that we have talked about, like, I mean, I'm like, yes, that is
good.
Yeah.
It feels good to see myself in that way.
Yeah.
Because for a long time, people have saw me like that, and I'd be like, who are they talking about? You know, like, I didn't feel strong. Like, I just did not feel strong because I'm so sensitive, I'm so intuitive, and I feel, like, crazy. So I just didn't see myself in that way. Yeah. But once I started embodying and I shifted my self-concept, I began to see myself through new eyes, you know. And I stopped judging myself for feeling so deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I realized it is what keeps me connected to my intuition, my ability to feel.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for people who are like, well, I want to embody, I want to feel, I want to, you know, get in touch with myself? Like, is there anything that you can suggest, like maybe a couple tips or anything for people who are like ready for that?
I would definitely suggest getting a mentor.
Yeah.
A mentor who is embodying. I think that was one thing that really helped me out in my journey. I had a phenomenal coach, Kathleen Cameron. Shout out to Diamond Academy. She was my coach. Well, I still consider her my coach, but I went through her program last year. And it truly, truly did everything I needed it to do. Surround yourself with other people who are where you want to be. I think that's so important. Your environment, I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
It's so important, the type of people you surround yourself with. You know, sometimes people are waiting for their friends to change.
Mm-mm.
And the reason why your friends aren't changing is because you aren't changing. So rather than trying to change other people, focus on changing yourself, doing the inner work for yourself, and then one day you'll look around and your whole world will be new. Because that's what happened for me.
That's beautiful.
You know, my old friends, I didn't have friends that valued personal development, but I always did. But I would dumb myself down in different environments, you know, and then I just got to the point when I became a mom and I got married, I said, this is my life.
I can't
worry about what someone else is doing.
You were ready for it. Those are great tips. I think that the community is so important. It is one of those, you know, success principles of you are a combination of the people you spend time with. But it is true. There's no way around it. So if you do happen to have someone in your life that maybe is a family member, somebody that, you know, is kind of pulling you down, you really need that even more. I mean, we all need it, but just to have that balance of having people that are pulling out greatness out of themselves and you, and I love that, then can, you know, pour into each other.
I want to say that you mentioned around people who are like pulling us down.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to come into the awareness that no one else can pull us down.
Mm-hmm.
No one else can pull us down. It is our lack of boundaries and self-worth that is allowing that type of behavior. Like, why are we attracted to staying in those type of spaces?
Yeah.
So that's really important.
Yeah, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that. It is absolutely.
Take your power back completely.
Yeah. It's up to us for sure.
Learn to say no. Like, I'll call you back, mom, or I'll talk to you later, little sister, without any guilt.
Yeah. Without the guilt. Yeah.
Without the guilt.
You did mention that as being something that is such a common experience.
Yeah, guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm. Those are heavy.
They are so heavy.
For real heavy. will hold you back.
Yeah.
And shame is, you know, it's interesting when we're talking about self-worth, because it's like the self-worth piece is interesting because it's different than self-confidence, right? Like you can be confident. You can be externally confident. But the self-worth is like that internal piece that says, I'm worthy no matter what, right?
I got it tattooed here.
Oh.
It says worthy.
There you are.
And I got this the day I filed for divorce because it used to say Mrs. Jackson, my ex-husband's last name. And so I got two roses and the stem says worthy. That's, yeah.
That's it.
I needed that reminder.
Right? Yeah, the self-worth piece is something that is a little more internal to come to terms with.
Yeah.
But it can be very freeing. I know, you know, definitely going round and round with that one. Yeah.
The self-forgiveness and the compassion.
Yeah.
You know, I had this moment, and then also understanding, like, there's no destination that you're going to arrive to. Like, you will continue to grow and ascend if you seek it for the rest of your life until you leave this world. And it's okay if you're still healing. It's okay if things still trigger you. It's okay if you find yourself driving down the car crying off of something that happened 5 months ago or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Just allowing that compassion for yourself. Like, I used to have no self-compassion. It was, well, I should know better because I read all these books. I took these courses. Like, I should know better. So I had a hard time forgiving myself. But yesterday I realized, like, you've only been studying this material for the past few years.
Right.
You have been undoing years, generations of trauma, deeply rooted poverty consciousness. So it's okay. You're on your way. You're doing a phenomenal job. And in that moment, I just had so much appreciation for myself. Like, girl, you got it going on. Like, look at the work that you've done and look at the work that you will continue to do and how many lives you are helping rise and break those same very chains that have plagued other people's families. You know, so it's like, why do you think 4 years, 3 years, you should be like 100% embodied like that?
Right.
Don't compare yourself to anyone else. Because that's what I was doing. It's like, well, my mentor, she just accepted these beliefs in an instant. Yeah, but her path wasn't your path. So don't even look at anyone else's path.
That's right. Yeah. And that's a lot of, it's confusing out there.
Because yes.
Everybody's showing their path or pieces of it. You know, maybe the shiny, like, ending and you're in the middle and, you know, not to be compared.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. But if we know anything about the subconscious mind from 0 to age 7, you are being programmed like crazy. Mm-hmm. So if you had some really deep, crazy programmings, it might be a little bit more challenging for you to uproot it and reprogram that. Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
Yeah. I love that. So I wanted to talk about when I first met you, you had a different name.
Yes, I did.
And I totally respect that you have changed your name.
Thank you.
How did that come to be?
Oh, man. So
how did you make that decision?
Last year, well, my name now is Victoria Rain, but I was born Trayshawn Lene Harris. And so in my 20s, I went by Victoria Black. But back then, it was like an alter ego.
Mm-hmm.
Last September, I realized I was like, why am I still having challenges in my embodiment? I found myself reverting back to past behaviors. And I'm like, What is going on here? Like, so I had to get clear about my identity. What were the habits and traits I wanted to begin to embody, and what did I want to leave behind? And I realized my name had so much trauma associated with it. And so I said, okay, I need to do something bold, something radical. And I decided to change my name to Victoria Rain. Victoria means victory and Rain means to rule. And every day, it is just a reminder that I'm who I choose to be, not who I used to be.
Oh.
Yeah. And even further, that we don't have to keep shit that people give us. I never liked that name. I never liked it. I didn't ask for it.
Right.
I never liked it. You know, and then people would nickname me Trey. That's so masculine. Like, I didn't like it.
Yep. And how did the world respond to that? I'm just curious. What was
my
your
experience? My family, I'm kind of like the unicorn. I won't say black sheep. I'm kind of like the unicorn of the family. You know, they're like, oh, she's doing something else that's weird. Like, this is, they're used to me doing.
There she goes again.
Yep, there she goes again. Yeah. They're used to it. And my friends, everyone just accepted it immediately.
I love that.
Yeah, I think my ex-husband and his family, I think they had a harder time, like, switching their belief like that.
Sure.
Because they're like, well, we've known you all these years. And you're like, you don't have to say a name. You could just talk to me, you right? know? But it is something I appreciate people respecting.
Yes. It's yeah. beautiful. Thank it just you. Roll. It just has like a certain Thank you. It vibration does. When you say it.
It does. And I love it. I love it. And we really don't have to keep things people give us, from beliefs to thought patterns mm-hmm. to even like tangible things. Like mm-mm. you can say no.
You are yeah. such a trailblazer of a strong person, and I love that about
you. Thank
you
so much.
And I also love your soft heart too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to share or that you want to conclude with that maybe we didn't get to or I didn't mention?
I would like to say that if anyone is out there listening and they're struggling with self-worth, I just want to say that you were born worthy mm-hmm. and there is nothing that you need to do or be to be worthy. You simply just are. Mm. And the faster you can accept that, the faster you will move beyond this feeling of this unworthiness.
Thank you for saying that.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for sharing space with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Your wisdom will resonate out into the ethers from here. I cannot wait for this episode to come out and to watch you as you continue to grow and expand in a way that is, it's truly inspiring. Thank you very much, Victoria.
Thank you so much for having me. It's all about expansion. Like, keep rising. Don't stop.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.